Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, the HSE has today launched a major international campaign to recruit more than 400 hospital consultants to work in Ireland. And the CEO of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, told Morning Ireland that the new public-only contract for consultants offers a very different position to similar posts over the last 10 years. And the two different salary bands that previously existed have been flattened. Now, the move will also mean that a number of doctors will be rostered to work on evenings and weekends on a more permanent system. I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Matthew Sadlier, who's chairman of the consultant committee of the IMO, and on the line by Professor Ronan Collins, consultant geriatrician at Talla University Hospital. You're both very welcome. Thank you for being with us today. Matthew, I want to start with you because Bernard Gloucester, when he was on Morning Ireland this morning, he said that the distribution of the system across 5 days absolutely crucifies our health system. Is he right?
I mean, he's not wrong, I suppose, would be the best way of saying it. Like, we do work 7/7. We do urgent care 7/7. We don't provide routine and elective care on a 7/7 basis. So there is an element that the doctors do work over the 7 days. And I suppose there has been an issue of the last number of months with this concept that doctors don't work at weekends. And I suppose this is something that we do wish to push back on a little bit, to say that we do work weekends.
So it's frustrating for you and your colleagues to hear that.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you're saying the reality is we do work weekends.
We do work weekends. Now, we do work weekends covering urgent care. Mm-hmm. As opposed to working routine care. And that is a different thing.
And you accept that that's a problem, do you?
I accept that, could the hospital system be more productive if we had people working in the pattern that they work Monday to Friday, 7 days a week? It potentially could be more productive. But the problem with that is that will need more staff, more resourcing to do that. And I suppose our fear has always been that they will try to move rostering the current staff that they have over a 7 day period, which essentially is, yes, making Saturday and Sunday more productive, but at the cost of making Wednesday or Tuesday less productive. And I suppose that is our fear. Nobody goes into medicine thinking that they're not going to be working 7 days a week. We all know that medical problems and people get sick every day of the week. But it's how you structure that within the system. And yes, our system has been structured on a 5/7 basis, but to move from 5/7 to 7/7 will require a number of changes, not only just to staffing levels, but also how the system runs and operates. In Ireland, as people who've been in hospital will know, we tend to run a very individualised medicine system where people are directly admitted under a particular consultant. They're admitted under one team, and that is their doctor, that is the person who looks after them. Now, if you move to a 7/7 system, you move away from that individual continuity of care, because by definition, you know, your team won't be there for the, you know,
7 day period. Yeah.
So there's those sort of structural changes that would have to happen to move to the 7/7. But as I say, we've no ideological problem with moving to a 7/7 if it is done correctly. And I suppose that is our fear.
OK, well, Ronan is on the line as well, Professor Ronan Collins. And Ronan, you were in hospital all day yesterday, I understand.
Well, I wasn't virtue signalling, but when I was reading the title on the Sunday Business Post during a coffee break, I must admit I found it a bit ironic. Listen, I agree with my colleague there. I agree with Matt. You know, for most doctors, those type of headlines are kind of, at this stage, a little bit tiresome, if not a little bit frustrating for us to read. Most of us that work in hospital medicine do work 7/7. We have to. We realise that patients, as Matt said, get sick, particularly if you work in aspects of acute care. Now, it's also true to say that there's branches of medicine. I think when you're talking about consultants, staff in general, one has to realise that there's different specialties and branches of medicine, and some are required more frequently and more often and more out of hours than others. So one has to accept that as well. Mm-hmm. But going back ideologically, again, I agree with Matt. None of us have a problem with the concept that we have to provide cover out of hours or work out of hours. I think moving to routine working and Saturdays and Sundays does require the ancillary staff to be present. So, for example, I had a couple of patients over the weekend and that might ideally have to stay in hospital because I'm waiting for an MRI to start up on Monday morning. So to have an MRI running 24/7 needs extra radiographers, radiology nurse staff, possibly porting staff as well. Similarly, if I'm discharging some complex care back into the community, I need community services working. And I heard Bernard Glasser this morning recognise also that the health service shouldn't be just targeting or demonising consultants, but recognising that managerial staff, community staff and other aspects of the health service would also have to work 7/7 if we were to make this productive.
Yes, I mean,
having consultants here necessarily isn't going to make a difference.
Yeah, there's big focus, as you say, on what's happening in the hospital and a big focus on having people discharged in a timely fashion. But we always get messages here and I see them popping up on my screen as we're talking. Discharge to where? And to what?
Correct. And so that's the issue. All branches of the health service have to be working 7/7. You can't just have an aspect of it that won't necessarily solve the problem. I think the other thing, listen, I hope the campaign is a success, and we all do, in the sense that we do need consultant staff. We're under huge pressure here. I heard Bernard this morning talk about encouraging our junior staff to stay as well through better training, career opportunities as well. And there's very simple things that the health service needs to do if we are to try and retain our staff in addition to pay and career opportunities. For example, a lot of our junior staff, every time they switch jobs 6 months, are put back in emergency tax. I mean, surely, by the God, the health service could have cracked that one at this stage.
That would seem like a fairly simple thing to solve. Matthew, I want to come back to Matthew for a moment. And Ronan mentioned the Business Post and the headline in there that the government plans to break medics' resistance to seven-day rosters. What did you think when you heard about that?
Well, there's nothing that'll get your ire up more than that sort of thing. And there's nothing that will create resistance in the staff than a headline like that. So I don't think those sort of communication is helpful. And it has to be said, Bernard Glasser this morning, his interview, that was not the tone that I got from the HSE management. So we are willing to work with them. And I think that sort of sensationalisation of the problem is not going to help patients.
But is there a resistance there that needs to be broken?
I don't think there's resistance there that needs to be broken. And I think if people are shown a model of care that works and are given a protection, I suppose there is a fear if you look at people with this new contract that offers weekend working and late into the evening working. Like if I work in a department of eight other doctors and I'm the only person that signs the contract, well, by definition, then I think I'm going to be the only person working Saturdays and late nights. So for people to convert over to this contract, it is going to take the healthcare management to come to each kind of individual team, each department, give them a vision of what the extended working week will be like. Mm-hmm. Give them a vision of what their own lifestyle is going to be affected by this, to see before people will sign over. And I think we can work in tandem with management on this. We can solve this problem. But that does not belie the fact that, you know, our service is about 2,000 or 3,000 beds short of what we should have. You know, we're working at over 100% capacity. Hospitals should be working at about 90-odd% capacity, not over 100. So there are these other structural problems that getting the hospitals to work 7 days a week are not going to solve by themselves.
Mm-hmm, but they would go some way to solving the problem. I'm sure you would agree.
Help, yes.
So the Irish Hospital Consultants Association, they say they want a cap on the number of weekends that consultants will be asked to work under the new contract. Is that something at the IMO that you would also welcome?
We would welcome that. Now, as again, what Ronan said is like it is individual and different specialties have different needs and different departments have different needs. So I'm not sure if a national cap or whether it is an individual. But if a doctor transfers onto the new contract, they should have some sort of a letter from their management to say that, you know, you will not be the only person who'll be working every Saturday while your six or seven colleagues who haven't signed the new contract are working a Monday to Friday pattern. And I suppose that is what we will be looking for.
And is that why so few have transferred to the new contract? Do you know?
I think not directly. I think why so few have transferred at this point in time is the fact that it's going to take a while to transfer because you will want to know what your new work plan is like. It'll take a while. What is more worrying is that only 600 people have expressed an interest at this point in time. By the time the paperwork is done, we wouldn't really have expected a lot of people to have actually gone through that process, you know, in the 2 months since the thing has started. But the fact that only 600 people have expressed an interest does concern, I imagine, concerns Bernard Glasser and the management structure that, you know, the interest hasn't been as great. But as I say, if they want to increase the interest, they're going to have to show people what working at weekends is going to be like, what the extended working week, how many weekends they'll be expected to, how long the service, and as Ronan said, what other staff will be working at the same time, what the hospital will look like. I mean, there's no point, you know, just getting consultants to work 7 days of the week if you're not going to have all the ancillary staff, the health and social care professionals, increase the nursing staff in the hospital and increase the facilities that are open at the weekends as well.
Okay, and Ronan, do you think that there has been a focus on consultants, particularly with what we saw over the weekend, and that that focus has been unfair?
There's always a focus on consultants, Claire. Anyway, I suppose as the senior people within the medical service, one can understand that to an extent. But I do think, for example, like Matt, again, I got the tone from Bernard Gloucester that he understands that this is a far bigger issue than consultants. I think he's facing a big challenge with the recruitment overseas. And one of the things that is kind of being tangentially alluded to there in our discussion this morning, but which is a big factor. If I was younger, maybe in medical work in Australia, and I was looking at the hospital I was working in Australia and looking at the hospitals that might be coming back to work in here, I'd have a big think about it. You know, our hospitals are not fit for purpose. Bernard Gloucester did allude this morning that there is an ongoing kind of improvement in the States, but it's very slow coming. I mean, you see the States welcome. I welcome this completely, building a great new facility for our children's health in the country. But I would also say that in conjunction with that, we should have been upgrading our hospitals. The majority of the throughput through our healthcare service is adults and increasingly older adults. And there really hasn't been an appreciable improvement in many of our hospitals in that regard. Mm-hmm. And that impacts not in A&E, but just in the stress across all health grades, multi-occupancy wards, trying to maintain patient privacy and dignity, trying to nurse and medically manage people in any kind of form of reasonable accommodation is widely lacking in our health service, and it is not acceptable to patients. And I don't know why the public put up with it, actually.
So, you mentioned the ads and the Irish people who are working in the Australian hospital. So they're going to see these ads which say, time to come home for the Irish trained doctors. Do you think it's time for them to come home? Or will they be doing the right thing?
Would they be doing that? Well, that's a personal matter for them. I don't, in the sense that it sounds like a call to action or a call to arms. Are they doing the right thing? I mean, the right thing is an individual decision for people. You know, we train professionals in all branches, engineering, science, that go all over the world, economics. You know, and not everybody has that same emphasis on them that you need to come home.
But you said there, Ronan, about the hospital they might be working in being far superior in Australia to the one here. Yeah. We know about the lifestyle in Australia that people are likely to be having. I mean, if you saw that message, if you were a young doctor working in Australia, time to come home, and you knew exactly what you were letting yourself in for, what would you think?
I would think twice about it, because it's not about, for example, to use the borrow Bevan's phrase of, you know, stuffing people's fists with gold. Money isn't going to solve this problem. Money is an aspect of this and remuneration is an aspect of it. But I find, for example, working in our hospitals and our hospital environments very stressful under ward situations. In fact, I spend more time worrying about patient psychological welfare than many other aspects of my healthcare, because I know that the environment and the ward environments and the ED environments that people are being looked after are very, very challenging for patients who are already vulnerable through ill health. And everybody wants job satisfaction. For example, if I work in a ward and I'm looking after a patient, and if that ward is substandard, multi-occupancy, etc., etc., I feel that reflects poorly on me as an individual as well. And so many professionals don't want to work in environments like that.
Yeah, well, you're the front of house.
Exactly.
Patient facing. Do you think it's time to come home, Matthew, for the Australian doctors or the Irish doctors in Australia?
Well, given that I work here, of course I do. And, you know, I would love to have more colleagues, and I'd have loved more colleagues to coming back from abroad. And I mean, medicine has always benefited by people travelling the world and cross-pollinating skills and ideas. And, you know, many great doctors have come back from Ireland having learned and brought skills back. So absolutely, I would love them to come back. But all the, you know, what Ronan said again about our physical infrastructure, you know, there's issues that could be solved in the hospital, like providing on-site childcare. And I know that's an issue that affects nursing staff and allied health as well as doctors. But, you know, we've hospitals that employ 5,000-6,000 people. It makes no sense that they don't have a dedicated creche that runs 7 days of the week if they want people to work 7 days of the week. You know, improving some of those softer sides of the hospitals may, you know, childcare, you know, canteen facilities and these sort of things.
Accommodation.
Exactly. Could help to bring staff back. And, you know, it would be great if that was possible. And also looking at models of care, my own specialty, psychiatry, is the one that has the highest percentages of vacancies. And we would always look at, and, you know, staff tells us or members tells us that it is working in community centres that they find very challenging, and whether we need to look at the model of care of delivery. And when we do develop models of care, and I'd be very keen to say this, that they should be consulting with the representative bodies as to, do they think people will be able to be recruited into these models of care and where they are.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right, we'll leave that there. Dr. Matthew Sadlier from the IMO and Professor Ronan Collins, thank you both for joining us on the programme. We're going to Scotland next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.